This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
I am the world. I'm John Batchelor. FedGov today, Francis Rose, the host on Sunday mornings, Channel 7 in the nation's capital. The story is the nation's capital has a federal workforce that is extremely busy, and Francis is exploring the frontier of legacy data and digital data that's now flowing to the cloud. All of these presentations involve that underway, and yet there's also very smart programming here for, we'll begin with Megan Meacham, Director of the Rural Strategic Initiatives Division in the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy at the Health Resources and Services Administration at HHS. Now, the acronym itself would bend my ability to remember it, but in any event, what Megan does with her colleagues is something that is vital to the country right now. They're dealing with rural America that is in the middle of a crisis, opioid crisis and abuse of drugs, chiefly fentanyl crisis. And Megan tells the story humbly. One day in 2017 or 2018, they had a meeting about opioids and the number of deaths in America, and they did something about it. What did they do, Francis? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on the program. Well, what they did, the significance, I think, of what they did was twofold. What they did was they said, is there a way that we can reach out to these communities that are different from each other, every one of them different, and work with them in ways that are meaningful and sustainable in those communities to try to stem the tide against the opioid crisis and the fentanyl crisis? And the reason that that is significant in my mind is instead of what the government is stereotyped for doing, for the people think it does regularly by saying, here's the solution. Their goal was to find money that they could give in the form of grants to local organizations that could demonstrate that they were going to make a difference in the opioid and fentanyl crisis. And that's the reason that Megan and her team have been selected for a Service to America Med. That's the reason she was on the program, is because she and her team at HRSA, H-R-S-A, the acronym that you just described a few moments ago, are winners of the People's Choice Award in this year's Service to America Medals. Service to America Medals program, the organization in D.C., non-governmental, called the Partnership for Public Service, does to recognize people who are doing excellent work in the federal government. I've been talking to Service to America Medal finalists for the last 12 or 13 years in my various roles. And I'm just fascinated every year by the work that these people do, and also by what you accurately picked up on. These folks are very humble about the work that they do, often shocked that people are interested in hearing about it, often shocked that they're recognized for the work that they do. But Megan's team basically sat down and said, is there a way we can find money in the budget? And is there a way that we can make a difference by distributing that money to these organizations all across the country in these rural areas to stem the tide? And the data that they have indicates that the work that they've done by doing this has made a difference in the opioid crisis.
They are funders, right? You come to them with a grant for your area or your hospital or your clinic, and they've funded. And what I loved about Megan's story is we had this idea. We were sitting around. We came up with it. We wrote up a proposal. It went to Congress, and we had the money. Congress went bang.
That's right.
But what a great idea.
Well, the bipartisan – there are a few things that Congress it will deal with on a bipartisan basis. And one of them is the opioid crisis, because every single congressional district, every single state that a senator's from in the United States is suffering. And so – when someone can demonstrate that one can get results, it's pretty likely at this point in time that that organization is going to get the money. And that's what happened here. One of the things too that is attractive to Congress for funding things like this is the emphasis on, as Megan framed it, sustainability. And that is the idea that if at some point the federal government says, okay, we've given you as much as we can give you and we've got to move on, that program, the organization can continue doing the work without having the federal government have to continue to support it ad infinitum.
Riding to the rescue. That's what Megan Meacham and her colleagues are doing. Riding to the rescue. That's Charlie Armstrong. I love this guy. He is the chief information officer at FEMA. Everything about Charlie's presentation is completely believable. What FEMA does is it rides to the rescue. Floods, hurricanes, disasters, invasions, Martians. That's a possibility now, Francis. I'm waiting for you to book the first alien craft designer on your show. Apparently, there is credibility of being tossed around in Congress about this. But Charlie, his job is to take legacy data. That means in people's computers, desktops, in lost programs in the federal government, and transition it into the cloud. And he's doing this now without hiring talent, but he's encouraged that he's going to get to hire. Do I summarize Charlie's ambition correctly, Francis?
Yes, you do. I mean, Charlie's got the same situation that everybody else in the federal government has, which is, where do we get the cyber talent that we need in order to be able to meet the mission of the organization? And one of the tools that Charlie, as the CIO at FEMA, has at his disposal now is a system called the Cyber Talent Management System. For years, the federal government was hamstrung by the what it calls the general schedule, which is the schedule that tells federal leaders what they can pay people in certain job categories. And what they were able to pay people in cybersecurity was far, far less than what those cyber professionals could make by going to the private sector. And the cyber talent management system evens that playing field somewhat. It took many years to get it implemented, to get it instituted at the Homeland Security Department. And it did require legislation and a literal act of Congress in order for DHS to be able to pay those higher salaries to people. Now they have it. Charlie's the first component of DHS that I'm aware of to have access to it. And he made it very clear to me he's going to leverage it as quickly as possible because time is of the essence. The longer it takes to get these people on board, the longer it will take to deal with the cyber problems that every agency is up against.
Again, he is the locus. He's working with an agency that gives grants. Is that how they work? I think of FEMA as the first responders, but this is about programs that go on for years. Is that how to think of it?
Well, they do some delivery of service themselves, and they do a fair amount of grants and insurance. And one of the programs that Charlie's responsible for is a program called FEMA Go. And FEMA for a long time has had a number of different systems where those grants flow through. And one of his main priorities right now is coordinating them all under FEMA Go so that, number one, they reduce the cybersecurity threat landscape. There are fewer systems for the bad guys to poke into. And number two, they can move it to the cloud. Right now, a lot of these systems reside in data centers that FEMA manages, and they want to get out of that business so they can focus on the business of delivering mission instead of being an IT operation like a lot of federal agencies are focused on right now.
It hadn't occurred to me, Francis. You just identified they can lighten their footprint by putting everything in the cloud so they don't have to maintain offices.
Yeah, well, that's one of the broader goals of the federal government as a whole, not just FEMA. And that's the kind of the reason behind this push to the cloud. Federal organizations realize that in 2023, they don't need to own this technology and they don't need to manage it because the track record seems to indicate over the last 30 or 40 years that they're not as good at it as private sector organizations. So they'll pay the private sector organizations to do that stuff, and they will focus on, in FEMA's case, delivering services to people after disasters and whatever the mission of the organization is, they can focus on that and not focus on having to have a whole full-blown IT operation where they're managing data centers and call centers and helping people figure out their passwords and all that kind of stuff.
Francis Rose is the host of FedGov Today. It is both a television video presentation on Sunday mornings, Channel 7 in the nation's capital, and two podcasts a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Francis's conversation with the people who are the federal government. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batten.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.